The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was always fascinated by stories of missionaries from far distant lands. One of those I never forgot. It was a story of two tribes who were long-term enemies, and over the years they had lost in fighting a lot of people both sides. So the missionaries kept learning new ways about the local culture that could provide an opportunity to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, when I grew up, I grew up in a place where you could not possibly find a camel. So for me to get to know a camel, you know, you look at books and pictures, but I had never seen a camel until I got here in the United States. I went to see them at the zoo. And so in some cultures, they have no sheep. If you tell them something about the Lamb of God, it will pass over their heads because they do not know what you're talking about. So it's a big task for missionaries to go into a place and to learn about things in their culture that could connect with the gospel. And then that's actually the way they will explain the gospel to them, using the things that they know in their culture. And it turns out that in this particular story, these tribes, in order to make peace with each other, it required that both tribes bring the most recent newborn baby to be exchanged. So each baby would go to grow up in the other camp. And this assured that no future attacks will happen, since no one would want to harm their own blood. So the missionaries were so overjoyed about this. So this is, they talked about how this is the very picture of the God of heaven and earth, who sent his own son to make peace with an aggravated humanity. And today's gospel explains this divine transfer or entry of this baby into our world. Now, can you imagine the local people's eyes wide open and eager to listen to this story of a heavenly baby born in a human family? Just imagine the kinds of questions they would ask you if you were a missionary. They would ask things like, "Did we human also send our baby to God in exchange for his son?" What would you have said? That's where analogies get murky, because humans did not have to send their baby to God, but they all would have to go and belong to this heavenly kingdom. And the deal gets much better. Matthew tells us that this baby was indeed Israel's awaited Messiah, the Savior of all humanity, fully God and fully man, to make peace with all the world. I imagine the tribes now puzzled at this point, because you need to explain everything about what has happened. There was a cultural obstacles Mary and Joseph had to navigate, extremely difficult. Per law, an unwed mother could easily be killed. So it took a lot of patience and obedience and trust on both of their part. When God's mission is on the way, His presence and protection are at work. Now I have a question for us. Do we get to notice when God is at work in our lives? Do we get to really actually notice? Take a step back and notice where God is working. Most of us, when we are on the edge of a raging storm, in survival mode, seldom we calm our minds to see how God is working to come and rescue us. Joseph was in that kind of storm. A sudden wrong reaction could have meant the end of Mary. Patience and obedience within your storm. Patience and obedience. God is at work. Just look at the bigger picture of what was happening already. All the ingredients were there. The predicted virgin mother and the faithful Joseph, who, by the way, is a son of David, both of whom already fulfill the Messiah's prophecy. This God of Israel is the God of the impossible, the unexpected, and God's ways are unparalleled. And Paul teaches that this baby, Jesus, is the last Adam who came to fix the problems that Adam's sin had caused. See, some of our storms are a direct result of human sin. And the only way to effectively deal with human sin once for all was only the divine Jesus, who could undertake this role of sacrifice. And here he was in the womb of Mary, picturing exactly what the life of a Christian should be. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes and lives within you. And there was Mary and Jesus in her. Now, if Jesus is in you, then that means His heart is beating in you. Probably mothers could understand very much that picture way better than me. But it is true that He teaches you about the life of holiness, the right life of in the kingdom of God, the life of righteousness. That's what people who have Jesus in them think about and eat and drink and dream about. And obedience becomes one feature that we share with Mary. Unlike Eve, who opted for disobedience, at least that's how many early church fathers taught, that saying that Mary spiritually became the mother of new humanity, a new redeemed humanity living in total surrender and obedience to God. Now, you and I have been baptized and we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. God's love for you is without limit. Even so, there are storms and challenges that will be still in our path. And this was the case also for Joseph and Mary. They had no idea that in the 9th month of pregnancy, they will be trekking 90 miles long in the cold road towards Bethlehem to homelessness and to a stinking stable in a cave. They had no idea. But that was part of their path. They were not destitute, but it was a humble and modest path that God has chosen. You know, a life of stormy hardship and uncertainty, and yet they was full of joy, not for them only, for the people around, the shepherd and people who came to understand that this story is happening in the whole universe. This story is happening. There was joy and deep peace because God of the universe was in there. When we hit rock bottom, he understands because he's been there. This God of glory came down from heaven to heal and to reconnect our relationship between us and our Creator, to wean us off our idols. These are the things we love that are not good for us and that we think we cannot live without. And for this to happen, Jesus has to come and burst into our world and became one of us, so that we also in turn would become one with him. No matter what obstacles or challenges you may be facing ahead of you, trust in God. Have faith in God. His eternal love for you will carry you through everything. Remember to keep Jesus in the center, in your center. Amen.